Thank you for being here and for worshiping with us here today, especially if you're a guest. We're glad that you're here. Thank you for being here today and worshiping with us. If you have your Bibles, you can get a head start. James chapter 2, verse 1. The verses will be on the screen behind me also. But before we get there, as you're turning there, let me share a couple of announcements. First of all, next month I'll begin the series on mental health. These cards, we've been talking about this the last few weeks. These cards are out in the lobby. If you want to pick some up, you want to share with people, or maybe you just take it home, put it somewhere where you can be praying over the series. The Lord blessed greatly last year, this time together in September last year, where we talked about mental illness and mental health issues and what the Bible has to say about it. And we're asking and we're praying he do the same this year. Starting September 8th will be the first message when I'll talk about mental illness, and then the next week about anxiety, the week after that depression, and then how God sees you and encouraging those who are walking through those valleys. So let me encourage you to just be praying about those. But those are out in the lobby if you want to pick some of those up. Second Baptism Sunday, August the 25th, which is coming quickly. If you've surrendered your life to Christ, but you haven't followed through with believer's baptism, we invite you to take that next step. You can register online at the website or out in the lobby. So let me encourage you to be praying and thinking through that also. August the 24th is the Men's Road Rally. We'll meet here at 8 o'clock here at Grace Point. Information on the lobby also or on the website. Sign up on the website. There, if you want to be a part of that, there's a place out in the lobby also you can sign up. So we're kind of covering both bases there. So that's coming quickly. And then last week we talked about the catechism class for kids and adults starting August the 21st. So if you go to that on our website, click on that banner, it takes you to a page that answers the questions I talked about last week. So I don't want to take time to talk through that all again, but we talked about catechism, about what catechism means to teach biblical truth in an orderly way through questions and answers. So, and the catechisms are the foundational biblical truths that we embrace here at Grace Point. Right? So we're teaching those to our kids. We're also teaching to adults, a class for adults if you want to come and be a part of that. And it's taught through questions and answers, and there's 52 catechisms. So we'll be teaching that in our kids' ministry August 21st, 6:15. We'll also have an adult class if you want to go through that. So that's something we're looking very forward to. So more information on the website. There's also tables in the lobbies if you want to stop by there and pick up some more information. Just kind of look through the curriculum, okay? And then today, I want to take a moment. I did in the first two services and this one to pray for our teachers, support staff, administrators, anybody that is connected with schools, Kids Zone Academy. If you're connected there, I want to take a moment to pray for you. I know this is transition week. Everybody kind of gets back in the swing of things with kids getting back into the classes, and so there's a lot going on. But let me ask you to do this. If you're a teacher, if you're an administrator, if you're an office worker in the schools, or you work at Kids Zone, would you just stand up for just a moment and then just remain standing for a minute while I pray for you? Would you stand? I know some are here. Would you stand? If you're involved with our schools or any schools anywhere, just remain standing for just a moment. And we as a church want to pray for you with all the transition. So let's pray. If you remain standing, and then church family, just join me as we pray for these that are standing here today and in our other services. And some obviously couldn't be here today. But Father, we're grateful for these people here today. I pray today for them as they begin to transition, many of them already back, but this week is busy. There's a lot going on. Kids are back and everything ramps up. And so I pray that you will give them encouragement, give them rest, Lord, at the time they can rest, give them perseverance, give them patience, God. And I pray that they will know that they know that they know that they know that you are using them. Whatever position you've called them to, that you're using them to be light in darkness, God, whether they're in the classroom, whether they're in the office, wherever it may be, that you are using them to be light in the midst of darkness. So I pray, Lord, we pray that you encourage them, give them strength, give them comfort as they anticipate this week. Lord, we're praying 1 Peter 5 over them, where you tell us to cast all our anxiety on you because you care for us. So we pray that over these people that are standing here today, as they might be anxious, anticipating. Give them that peace that passes all understanding. And I pray, Lord, that you'll give them a glimpse this week of how you are using them, God, to minister, to encourage other people. So thank you for their faithfulness, and we pray you'll bless them. In Jesus' name, we pray these things. And all of God's people said together, amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for standing. And we're praying for you and for the kids and parents and all the transition students that are going back. So we're praying. We're praying. We're talking about going the extra mile this year at Grace Point. James chapter 2, verse 1. A whole book about James is going the extra mile. Not doing just what we have to do, but being willing in every phase of our life. Whatever we're doing, that we're willing to go the extra mile. And so as we talk about James chapter 2 this morning, here's the main focus. There's five takeaways. I'm going to give you five takeaways. I go fairly quickly through these five takeaways. But the focus of the message this morning is how to stop judging others and start loving people. To stop judging and to start loving. We are fallen people, man. We need God to help us do this. Anytime we're teaching the Word of God, we need God to empower us, to strengthen us, to do these things that we're called to do. So let me just read this, and then I'm going to give you five things to take away with you this morning. Here's what it says, James chapter 2, verse 1. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. And we talked about that last week, right? The Lord of glory and what that means. And I said to you, glory never terminates this side of heaven. All we do, we're giving glory to God, okay? For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, so he walks into Grace Point this morning, a guy who kind of looks like us, right? We can identify with. That person walks in, all right? And a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in. And if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there, or sit at my feet, have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Okay, so that's what's happening in their assembly. Guy walked in, dressed well, he could tell he has money. And then another guy walks in, tell that they probably don't, and they show favoritism, or they are partial to the wealthy person. And they're putting him here, make sure you're okay, you need anything, let's watch out for this guy. And this poor guy over here, we'll just sit him over here. Matter of fact, you sit at my feet if you'd like, which is saying, you know, you're under me. That's what was happening in that church. Now, I'm gonna ask rhetorical questions today. Don't answer them, okay? Men, don't answer them. A homeless guy walks into church this morning. Sits right in front of you. What are you thinking? Somebody else walks in. They look a lot more like you. They walk in and they sit down right in front of you. You think any different? Well, what was happening here was they were making distinctions between the two. So how then are we supposed to respond? That's what I want to show you this morning. And that's what James is telling them. You're being partial. Showing some translations say favoritism. So here's the first takeaway we want to take from this text and learn. Christ followers break down walls that divide people. Christ followers break down walls. We should be doing that. We see that because we follow after Jesus and we see through the Gospels. That's what he did consistently. He broke down walls. Now, if you're taking notes, the word partiality in your Bible, or you might have favoritism, depending on your translation. Here's what it literally means. It's kind of weird, so let me explain it. It literally means to receive face. That's what the word means, to receive face. So what he's saying, what it means then is you receive people and you draw conclusions about people based on what you see. It's the idea of what we would say is take it at face value. That's what you do. just based on what you see. To receive faith means to make judgments and distinctions based on external considerations, such as physical appearance, social status. Here it was between wealthy and the poor. Now here's what we know. God never does this. And Jesus never did that. So we should follow after him. Romans chapter 2, verse 11. For there is no partiality with God. It's fundamental about God and should be about us on how we see all people. A very significant aspect as you study through the life of Jesus, a very significant aspect of his ministry was to break down walls that divided people. He showed no partiality. The woman at the well who had five different husbands, had been with five different husbands, right? And the story is that Jesus went, what did he do? He didn't condemn her, he didn't judge her. He went alongside, came alongside. He loved her, he cared for her, he encouraged her. Bringing down walls, the blind man, the beggar, the leper, the one with leprosy. Everybody said, stay away from the woman caught in adultery that everybody wanted to condemn. Now, he wasn't condoning, he wasn't saying that those actions are right. Adultery. But he was still loving and vowing. He's breaking down walls. So here's fundamental. If you get nothing else this morning, I want you to get this one thing. I want you to take this one thing with you. If you get nothing else, get this. The Bible is clear. God has said it and Jesus showed it. And we should do it. And that is this. We must love and value every single person. Amen? That's what this is all about right here, James 2. Valuing people, not judging them, but valuing people. Christ followers break down walls that divide. Here's the second thing. Don't draw conclusions just simply based on what you see. Be careful. Don't draw conclusions based just on what you see. And that's what was happening in this assembly, in this church. They were basing just on what they saw. They didn't know the people. But based on what they saw, it influenced the way they would treat them and their actions towards those people. But let's remember, things are not always as they appear. I want to read this to you. I saw this quite a while back, from a book by Charles Swindoll called Strike the Original Match. And I laughed at this, but it illustrates the point. I'm just going to read it as it's written in that book. He says this, maybe you've heard about the guy who fell in love with an opera singer. He didn't really know her since his only view of the singer was through binoculars from the third balcony. But he just knew he could live happily ever after married to a voice like that. He scarcely noticed that she was considerably older than he was. Nor did he care that she walked with a limp. He believed her beautiful soprano voice would take them through whatever might come. So after a whirlwind romance and a hurry-up ceremony, they were off for their honeymoon. She began to prepare for their first night together. And as he watched, his chin dropped to his chest. She plucked out her glass eye and plopped it in a container on the nightstand. She pulled off her wig. She ripped off her false eyelashes. She yanked out her dentures. She unstrapped her artificial leg. She smiled at him as she slipped off her glasses that hid her hearing aid. And stunned and horrified, he gasped and said, "For goodness sakes, woman, sing, sing, sing." Come on, it's better than that. That was awesome. Don't draw conclusions based on what you see. Sing, woman, sing. That's funny. So on a more serious note, I'm at the car wash, washing my truck. And I go, I'm not going to say what time I was there because it's a crazy early morning hour. But it's just, I wake up and I go and nobody's there and it's just my own world and I like it better that way. So I was at the car wash at this crazy hour, early hour of the morning, and usually there's nobody there at that time. And so I pull around, and then it's the kind where you go through, and then you pull around, and you got all the different deals you can go in and vacuum. And so I pull in and I'm vacuuming my truck, and I notice that at this end there's an old white van down there. And I thought, what crazy person washes their car at 4:30 in the morning, besides me? So I think, well, that's kind of parked way down there. So I just start, you know, cleaning my truck, vacuuming everything out. And then I notice this guy get out of the van. And he starts walking towards me, okay? And so I kept vacuuming. I know kung fu, so I wasn't worried. I know karate. So he's walking toward me. I'm thinking, well, this is, you know, what's going to go down here? And so he stops before he gets to me, and every one of the places you pull into, carport place, has a trash can in it. And then you got the vacuum that you pull out your vacuum. And so I notice him before he gets to me. He's about three spaces down. He goes to the trash can, and the brother, man, he starts digging down in the, I mean, he's digging in the trash can. Like, he's down in like this, right? So, again, rhetorical. I mean, what are you thinking? What am I thinking? You know, I mean, I have to be honest. You know, part of me was like, come on, man. What are you doing? And then, thankfully, by the grace of God, it just hit me. Just what came to my mind, just came to my mind over and over again. James 2, just kept coming through my mind. I know that was, you know, sometimes we say God spoke, or God, I never hear audible voice, but sometimes God presses, that just came to my mind. James 2, value all people. And I thought, man, that's, yeah. And so I'm right here, the trash can I'm using is right here, like right here, that close. So he's coming up, and so he comes right to that trash can too, like I was right there. Right? And so because I'm thinking, man, I need to like not judge, you know? And so I say to him, I just go, hey, brother, man, hey, what's up, man? How you doing? You know, how you doing? And he says back to me, he goes, yeah, I'm good. And he's digging in here. And he says, I'm digging in here, man. I found a $100 bill last week. And so I said, well, scoot over, brother. Let me get in there. And, you know, and then he starts, you know, talking. And so we just had, you know, talked for a little bit. Where are you from? You know, kind of bad. Just had a little bit of a conversation. He kind of went on his way. What do you think about, though, when you pull up to the stoplight today on your way home or this week, and the guy's standing there with a sign, and he's got the cup out or something, he wants some, what are we thinking? Oh, do we run to those judgmental thoughts? Are we judging, or are we seeing them and valuing them as God wants us to see them and to value them? Now, this is true also when people differ with you about issues in just in life, right? Or contrary to what the Bible teaches, or people that are unbelievers and don't believe the way I believe about parenting or about lifestyle or about whatever it is. Now, here's that even though people are different and see things different than us, as believers, my friend, as believers, the Bible is clear. Jesus showed us, God says it. We must value everybody. Everybody. Rick Warren, who's a pastor, writes this. He says, our culture has accepted two huge lies. The first is that if you disagree with someone's lifestyle, you must fear or hate them. And the second is that to love someone means to agree with everything they believe or do. Both are wrong. You don't have to compromise convictions to be compassionate. So just because you're compassionate and loving and caring for people who might believe something different than you, which we should be, that's what our calling is to be, not judgmental. Doesn't mean we agree with everything, but we can still, here's what we've lost, culture, country, we've lost the ability to agree, to disagree, and still love one another. And so for us as believers, that's where we have to come back to the truth of valuing people. And that's the deal, is we value everybody. Even if we disagree with them about things, we still value all people. Let me take you take my number three on this kind of mindset. In verse 4, where he says, you stand over there or sit down at my feet, verse 4 says, have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? When we do that, right, we're judging. And he says, evil thoughts. So takeaway number 3, partiality reveals. If I'm showing favoritism or partiality, that reveals that I have a judging heart. So therefore, as we approach situations, and maybe that's the first thing that comes to your mind, let me encourage you to think of two things to remember as you're dealing with, as you run into it even this week. Number one is this: you never know what people have been through. That's the first thing. You never know what they've been through. You never know what their struggles have been, what their hurts have been, the things that they have had to endure, what they have had to go. You never know, right? So keep that at the forefront. You never know what they've been through, or maybe why they are where they are right now. We don't know. We don't know the story. And then the second thing is, you never know what they're going through right now. You never know what they've been through, and you never know what they're... Now look, I'm not saying justifying disobedience or anything, but I'm just talking about, as receiving people, face value, be careful about that, right? You never know what they've been through, and you never know what's going on in their life right now and what they are going through right now. So the response to that is gracious, to be kind, to value people. That's what Jesus did. All people, and that's what we're called to do. Look at verse 5. Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? Takeaway number 4, look past the outside, look into the heart. That's what God does. Look into the heart. Now, one statement about this. James is saying here that the poor are chosen, he says, because the poor will often respond more readily to God in faith because there are fewer obstacles to the kingdom than the rich. Doesn't mean rich people won't or don't. So we have to make sure we don't judge people who are well-to-do either, come up with judgments about them. We shouldn't do that. But in this context, just like the rich young ruler, who Jesus said, you know, go and sell everything, he said, well, I can't do, you know, that there are a lot more obstacles. That's why he's saying that. But we want to look past the outside. We want to look into their heart. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Look at the heart of the person. Then go to verse 6. But you have dishonored the poor man. You have dishonored. Are not the rich the ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called? Take one number 5. The last one is this. Partiality dishonors people created in the image of God. Partiality dishonors people created in the image of God. Listen, every single person you see, every single person you see, whether they're in the church building, in the school building, whether they're sleeping on the sidewalk, whether they're trying to get money at the corner, whatever, every single person you see has been created in the image of God. And this is how we must see them, and to show and to value all people. To see all people is valuable. Now, I want to step outside of this for just a minute, and then I'll come back and finish. But so that's the original context of this, is how we relate to one another. But I want you to think about something else as we finish this idea of partiality to receive face, okay? When it comes to your present circumstances, when it comes to your valleys, when it comes to your mountains, when it comes to your struggles, whether it's physical, whether it's relational or emotional or financial, whatever it may be, okay? As you're facing the stuff, you know, this world kind of has dealt you, and you're pushing through that. Listen, be careful in this same way, partiality, to receive face, to draw conclusions just based on face value. Be careful not to do that. Don't be partial to discouragement. Don't be partial to it's not going to work out. Don't be partial to fear. Don't be partial to anxiety. Don't be partial to worry. Don't be partial to that. Just because what you see, don't base it again, all right? Don't base it on what you see. Don't receive it at face value. We have to look at our present circumstances, not just face value on what we see. But just as we want to see people as God sees people, we want to see our circumstances as God sees our circumstances. That's how we want to see those. David could have easily face value when he's going against the giant. Man, David could have said, there's no way, man. Look at this guy. Face value says, I can't win this thing. But that's not how he saw it. He saw how God saw it and empowered him. And the Bible says he ran towards the giant. And we know how it ended. Right? Not just receive it in a face value. Peter, when he was in the boat and Jesus is on the water, and Peter says to him, Lord, if it's you, have me come to you. And then Jesus says, come. Peter could have easily said, look, the way this thing looks, it's not going to work for me. Face value says, I can't get there. But he didn't do that. But Jesus said, come. God says, go and fight. And Joshua, when God said, I want you to march around this city over and over again, seven times, and you keep marching, and then those walls are going to come down. On face value, Joshua could have said, man, that's just not going to work. But God saw it differently. We want to see what is before us, not as we see, but as God sees. Don't favor discouragement. Don't favor defeat. Don't be partial to negative thoughts. Don't go that way. Don't see it as face value. See it as God wants you to see it. Luke 18:27, But Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Amen? That's how we see it. And so whatever's before you, and it might be hard, it may not have gone down the way you had hoped and prayed, it may be different. But what we know is God will provide. That's how we see it. And that's how we should see it, the way that God sees it. I finished with this last thing, and then we're praying together. One of my favorite articles of all time, I think. You put that picture up there? All right. So this is an article I saw a while back, and I have the article, and that picture is on the front of this article that I saw and read and kept. Let me read you the headline. It's of that picture. 5-year-old best friends got the same haircut to trick their teacher so she wouldn't be able to tell them apart. All right? Yeah, best story ever. Listen to this. Lydia's 5-year-old son, Jax, left hand, is convinced of one thing in life. He and best friend, Reddy, look like identical twins. There's really only one thing that separates the two friends, according to Jax. His hair stands up while Reddy's doesn't. So Jax decided to cut his hair over the weekend and play a little prank on he and Reddy's teacher on Monday. Because how on earth would their teacher be able to tell the difference between them if they had the same hairstyle? Jack says, I couldn't wait to go to school on Monday with my hair like Reddy's so our teacher wouldn't be able to tell us apart. That, my friend, is seen like God sees. From the mouth of babes, we learn. How to love others and not judge people. Let's pray together. You pray with me? Let's pray. Will you stand with me as we stand together and just continue to reflect on the Word of God and I hope how He is challenging you and encouraging you. And if you're walking through those valleys, I'm praying that God is renewing your faith and your hope and your strength to continue to persevere. Don't take it on face value. That means we're just looking at it without God. Let's invite God into our healing. Invite God into our circumstances. Invite God into our anxiety. Invite God into our fear. Invite God into our relationships. Invite God into our parenting. Whatever's facing you. So, Father, thank you for these people that are here today that have come to worship you, to hear you speak, God, through your word. I pray, God, you restore hope where people may be hopeless. I pray you renew faith where people are weary maybe and struggling. And just remind us, God, of your promises and empower us to see people the way you see people, every single person created in your image. Thank you for hearing us. We continue to worship you in Jesus' name. With our heads bowed and eyes closed just for a few moments, my friend, if you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, you've never prayed and asked Jesus to be Lord and Savior, and if God's drawn you to him, I'm going to be here at the front. There'll be other elders and pastors and elders here. We invite you to come. We would love the opportunity to pray with you, to lead you in that prayer of salvation. If you've never surrendered your life to Christ, we invite you to come. Maybe there's something on your heart you want us to pray with you. We welcome that too. Or if you want to come and kneel at the altar, we want you to feel the freedom to do that. Or just right where you're standing, as you stand in worship. Maybe you're praying or you're singing or just however the Lord leads you these next few moments. This time is between you and the